Okay, guys, if you want to turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4, if you don't know where that is, it's a minor prophet, close to the Gospels. So let's pray real quick, guys, before we get started. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're in this place. Lord, that when we offer our praises to you, that you gladly receive them, Lord. Lord, that you're not a distant God that we can't approach, Lord, but that you are desiring to have a very intimate relationship with us, Lord. One that is as real as what we experience with each other, Lord. And Lord, I ask right now that you would help us to grasp, Lord, what it is to have a relationship with you. Lord, because whatever the topic, whatever we're talking about, its purpose is for us to draw closer to you. So Lord, I ask right now that you would speak to us, that you would open our hearts, clear our minds, and that we would give you our complete attention. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, one thing that I've noticed lately is that there is a craze in this generation for caffeine. It's true. You guys like your caffeine. And I would probably say that I tend to like my caffeine also. And so I was actually reading some facts about some different energy drinks. I was reading everything from Monster to Rockstar and then Red Bull. So basically, any of these energy drinks, they're basically like sugar water. Just sugar water. Have you guys ever seen the movie Men in Black? And there's that one alien that comes down, and he's actually a cockroach, but he puts his body on. He's like, guys, sugar water. Have you guys ever seen that? He like pulls his face back, he's like, sugar water. But it's just sugar water. And that's what it basically is. It's just a ton of sugar. But I was actually reading about Red Bull. And actually, it has this stuff in it called, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like taurine. And what it is, it originally came from bull slobber. Okay? They originally extract this stuff out of bull slobber, and it was used to, like, give you this energy and stuff. Thankfully, they make it synthetically now, okay? So we're not drinking bull slobber anymore, but it's actually man-made, and so you're safe. You can drink Red Bull. So I gave you guys some Red Bull tonight, but don't worry. No bull slobber in it, okay? I was also reading about how much caffeine Americans consume in one day. And they say that most Americans consume about 3 cups of coffee a day, which is about 280 milligrams of caffeine, or about 12 cans of Coke every day. On average, Americans consume that much caffeine. That's a lot of caffeine. Now we can understand why we're always bouncing off the walls, okay? It's because we drink way too much caffeine. Also, guys, I got on this website, and it's called Energy Fiend. And you can actually plug in any energy drink, and it'll tell you, if you were to drink so much of these energy drinks, what would it take for it to kill you? So I found a couple of different things. One is, you have to drink 72 cans of Monster or Rockstar in a consecutive, you know, in a row. And if you did that, they say it would kill you. It said actually you'd be pushing up Daisy. That's what it said. You'd be pushing up daisies. It says it takes 143 cans of Red Bull. If you drank 143 cans of Red Bull, it would kill you. Now, this is the kicker. This is what scares me, because I come close to this. It says that if you drink 44 tall cups of coffee from Starbucks, only 44, it will kill you. I could easily drink maybe half of that in a day. easily. So the point is, we like our caffeine. We like our coffee, our energy drinks. But one nutritionist says that it's creating this kind of craze amongst people. It's creating this like jolt effect where all of a sudden we're down. And then we're like all like strung out, you know, and all tense. And we're all just wired and ready to go. But then what's the effects afterwards, guys? You're like, and you're walking around. And your parents are like, what the heck's your problem? You're so blah. It's because we get all jacked up on these energy drinks, and then we just kind of lose it, and we're just dead and tired. Actually, I've been kind of convicted about this lately. I've had a little bit of a caffeine addiction problem. Honestly, I have. Tish can testify. I have. I would go in the morning and go to Solomon's Porch and get a triple Americano. So what that is, it's just three shots of espresso over hot water. I would get that, and then, because I had a headache when I woke up in the morning. But I noticed that wasn't quite enough, and I would need maybe two, like six shots first thing in the morning. And then afternoon, of course. I mean, I start getting a headache again, and I get another triple Americano. And then I was doing this all the time, and it came to the point where in the evening, I was getting another triple Americano. So you're talking like 9 to 12 shots of espresso a day. Which, that's not as bad as compared to some people. Some people do like 12 shots in one drink. But for me, it was pretty intense. And so I had to cut back. And so what I was doing is, I told the guys at Solomon's Porch that we have to do something different. Just, I'm going to tell you, I want a triple Americano, full caffeine, you know, full caffeine. But really, give me two shots decaf, one shot regular. So I'm playing tricks with my mind here. And so they started calling it a cripple Americano because, you know, it's kind of crippled. You know, it's only two shots decaf. They make fun of me quite a bit about it because I'm kind of a sissy, you know, getting decaf shots in my Americano. It's not really that manly, but I had a serious problem, and I needed to fix it. And so the thing is, we get all down, and we're all blah, and we don't have any energy to go through the day, and so we down these Red Bulls or these Monsters or these rock stars or coffee, and it gets us all up and amped and energy, but then we go down again. And we have to get another Red Bull, another Monster to get back up again, right? We get this jolt of energy and then we crash because we have no energy. And I was thinking about this, guys, in light of our Christianity. You say, well, how in the world does Red Bull and energy drinks and coffee have to do with Christianity? Well, I think it's like this, guys. Many times we, in our walks with the Lord, we have times when we're kind of like down in this valley. And then we have times when we're up on this mountaintop. Man, we're doing great. No one can knock us off. We're doing amazing. I mean, we're reading our Bibles. We're good, you know, we're good children. We're good friends. We do everything right and we're doing great. But then all of a sudden we kind of go down in this valley and we're struggling. And all of a sudden what we were doing good at, we're failing. And we're like, what happened? And now our parents are getting on us. What happened to you? You dropped the ball. You're failing. You're struggling. And then we get all down on ourselves and we're like, I know I'm a piece of work and I failed. I screwed up. And so what do? Okay, I know what the problem is. I know what the problem is. I need to do something. Right? That's what you think. I need to do something. Okay, not just go to Velocity on Wednesday nights. I need to double it up. We're going on Saturday nights too. Have you ever thought that way before? Man, I'm really struggling. I need to read my Bible at least five chapters a day. At least five chapters a day. And then it's not just that. I need to be praying. I mean, I'm talking 5 o'clock in the morning on my knees beside my bed praying to God. I mean, by the time I wake up, my knees are bloody. We need to get down to business is what we're thinking. We're screwing up. But what happens, guys? We do those things, we get all good, we get back up, and we move back up onto that mountain, and then sooner or later, we crash. Have you guys ever experienced that? You guys have experienced that. I don't want to think I'm the only one here, because I know I've experienced it. And it's similar to like an energy drink. So often we drink, we get our energy, then we crash. And that's why I've titled this Red Bull Christianity. Because we do that. We think we have to get amped up and ready to go. We think that Velocity tonight, okay, We prayed. We worshiped. We got into the Bible. Courtney taught. Kevin taught. I'm good for the week. And then what happens come Thursday? You said that one thing that you're not supposed to say. Or you got in a fight with your brother or sister. Or that one thing that you struggle with, you failed at it and you gave in to temptation. And you're like, what happened? I mean, I had that dose of God at velocity. I had my energy, I had my sugar, I had my dose of God, and it's supposed to keep me amped and ready to go. But I failed and I stumbled. You guys, I'm basing this off of what God tells a guy by the name of Zerubbabel in the Old Testament in Zechariah. He says this, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we're going to talk about that because it's not about you guys as Christians having all this strength and being able to do all these good things. And outwardly, you have this great-looking facade. You come to Velocity. You have your Bible. And it might be a pretty new purple Bible. But it's a good-looking Bible. And you're sporting that thing like you're the bomb, you know? I don't even know if you say bomb nowadays, but I just said bomb. And you're sporting that thing, and you're all good, but you get all this strength, and then you fail. God says here, it's not going to be by your strength or you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and saying, you know what, I'm going to truck through this life and I'm going to do it. But he says it's by Jesus Christ. Is it not interesting, guys, that we trust God for creation? We had no part in that. We trust God to bring up the sunshine every day. We trust God to give us relief from the sunshine by bringing the moon. We trust God to give us every breath of air that we need. We trust that Jesus raised from the dead. But when it comes to our daily walks, we think that we have to muster up some strength to do this thing called Christianity. And I'm here to tell you that we have to get our focus off of ourselves and what we're to do and get our focus on Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? Because we are workers as people. We are go-getters. We have to take care of business. If there's a problem, we think we're going to solve it. Instead of saying, I'm giving over myself to something else and let them take care of it. Lately, I've been really overwhelmed at work. And I found that I can't do everything myself. And I have to let other people help me and put things in the people's hands because in and of myself, I can't do it. And I have to rely on other people. And for whatever reason, we distance ourselves from God. Because it says it's not by might. It's not by your power, Zerubbabel, Velocity. It's by my spirit. Do you guys know that as believers, it says that Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit? Do you guys know that? He says it's a guarantee of our salvation. And he's there to enable us and to equip us to live as Christians. Because so often, guys, we get into a place where I need to be nicer, I need to pray, I need to read, I need to go to Velocity. And the outcome is that my problems will go away. This is where I want to change your guys' mindset. You guys, we need to get away from trying to change the outward and get into the business of letting God change the inward. You know what he says about the spiritual leaders in Jerusalem when he was walking this earth with his disciples? He says, I see all these spiritual leaders. They were like pastors back then. Okay? And he says, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. Well, it says, you look all pretty on the outside, but inside those tombs, what's that consist of? Dead people. There's no life. There's nothing. See, you guys can look real pretty on the outside. You can look real spiritual. And you can get all this strength and say, I'm going to live this Christian life. I'm going to be better at being a good brother or sister. I'm going to be a good child to my parents. I'm going to be a good Christian and not do these things.
But we fail because we're working on the outside and not letting God impact and change the inside. It's kind of like when a friend comes up to you and he really smells. Okay. Have you guys ever had that problem? A friend comes up to you and you're like, whoa, dude, you need to totally get some deodorant or something. And so, or they don't use deodorant nowadays. You know what they use? Bod spray. Body spray. What is this stuff? I mean, it's like cheaper than like Musk cologne. It's like this spray stuff that these guys wear. And they sweat and they stink and they come to the skate park and they're like, oh, I gotta spray my body spray on, my bod spray. And it's not taking care of the problem. It's just like, it's a mixture of BO and nasty cologne. Okay? It's like, every once in a while you're like, oh, that doesn't smell too bad. Then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what was that? You guys know what I'm talking about. And it's just a cover up. You see? And for us to not take care of the true issue, we're just covering it up. And sooner or later, it always comes back up. Because you know what? The bod spray, the cologne, goes away. And we're still left with the BO. We're still left with a stinky, nasty, smelly guy. Okay? We have to take care of business here. It also, and so when we're dealing with that of our Christian walk, you know what God says? He says, I'm not interested in making you look pretty on an outward in an outward facade. I want to look at your heart. He says this in Jeremiah 17:9 about the heart. He says this. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It says it's desperately wicked. He says, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. And he says, I, the Lord, test the mind. He says, I know your heart. I know your mind. And it's wicked, it's evil, and it's corrupt. And it always screws up. But you know what he says in Ezekiel about what he's going to do with this heart? He says, then I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within them and take that stony heart in their flesh, in their body, and I will give them a heart of flesh. I will give something that's living, that's able to live this life for the Lord. Before we were dead, but he says, I will give you a living heart. You see, guys, God's not in the business of makeovers. He's in the business of actually changing not just the outward facade, but the very structure of who we are. Myself and Tish, we work at the skate park, and we took some skaters to go see a skater that was actually in the hospital. This guy's name is Jermichael. Some of you guys may know him. You guys know Jermichael? Well, a couple weeks ago, I want to tell you a short story. Is that okay? Okay, a couple of weeks ago, Jermichael was just kind of hanging out, and he kept on having these heart pains. It was really hurting, and he finally said, I have to go to the hospital. I have to do something about this. So he gets to the hospital, and the doctors tell him that he has water around his heart. And they said, we have to relieve the pressure that you're experiencing to your heart, or else if you would have come in any later, you would have literally just fallen over and died. It's very serious with Jermichael. And we were asking him, me and Tish and the other guys that were with us, what did the doctor say? And actually when we were in there, the doctors say, hey, we have a whole list of possibilities of what you have. And one of them was a disease called lupus. And I was reading up about this disease, and one thing it says that it can be a fatal disease. Because this is what lupus does. It takes your immune system, and it calls it its autoimmune. It basically switches things around. Because in reality, your immune system is there to protect you. If you get a cold, it sends these things towards the cold and it fights it off and takes care of business. But what's happening possibly to Jermichael is that their immune system is actually attacking his organs. And it could cause all of his organs to fail, which would mean death. It's a very serious thing. And so we're talking with Jermichael and we pray for Jermichael. But what happens if the surgeons go in there and say, hey, here's some morphine to relieve the pain. Hey, here's some ibuprofen. It's just a cover up, right? But the issue is still there. And it will still bring severe problems into his life unless it changes. Because it's an issue of the heart, it's not an issue of outwardly what we're to do. Let's touch really briefly on the book of Zechariah and about this man named Zerubbabel. Can you guys say that five times really fast? Zerubbabel, 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 Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel. I'm not even saying that. I'm just like, but it's very difficult. It's crazy. But the thing is about this guy, Zerubbabel. How many times can we say Zerubbabel in one teaching? I mean, Zerubbabel. That should be our word for the next weekend. You know how we have our word? We should just yell, Zerubbabel! And we go nuts. That's what it should be. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe that's a lame idea. Okay, anyways, guys, in the book of Zechariah, if you guys want to turn there with me, in chapter 4, I'm going to read the first 7 verses, and I want to tell you a little bit about this guy, okay? We have about 10 minutes, and we're going to finish up, and we're going to spend some time in prayer together. It says, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who was awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left.' So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he answered and said to me," this cracks me up. He does all these crazy things about lampstands and oils and olive trees, and he says, "Well, this is what it means." I feel like God speaks to me this way sometimes. Just give me the straight facts, God. Just really cut and dry, real clear. But he says this, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone, which shouts out grace, grace to it." Zerubbabel had a call from God to rebuild the temple. You see, this man, this Zerubbabel, he, it's flowing now. This man, Zerubbabel, he was a captive in the Babylonian captivity with a man like Daniel and a couple other guys of his friends. He was in captivity with them. But the thing is, was that with this guy, he was a descendant of David. And you guys, David was a king. He was a prestigious man. He had authority. People respected him. And Zerubbabel was a descendant of this man. Also, he was in the line of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would actually come through the line of David and Zerubbabel, and he would be the Messiah. I mean, God in the flesh came through the line of this guy. I mean, this guy is, you know, walking with some heavy hitters here. It also says that he became a servant to the Persian king, and it says with that he became a governor over part of Israel. This guy had authority. I mean, if he wanted to get something done, he was very capable and able to do it. He was very equipped to do something like that. Well, this is what happened, guys. 2 years into this building project, they stopped. They came into opposition. People were, you know, giving them a hard time. And I think so often, guys, we know what to do. We know what it takes to live this Christian life. But we're so focused on our abilities and our strengths that when opposition comes, that when we actually fail and then Satan comes and condemns us, we don't know what to do and we run and we flee and we hide because we are not worthy. We don't feel like we're worthy anymore. And it says in the book of Haggai that Zerubbabel actually left and these other people that were building the temple, they left and they started building their own houses. And so often, guys, we do the same thing. God says, "I want you to do this. I want you to live this life." But instead, we count on our abilities, we count on our strengths, on our might, on our power. And when we fail, we think we're hopeless and we go do our own thing. Have you guys ever done that? Have you guys ever been living a strong Christian life and you begin to fail? And you say, "Well, I'm not able to do this," and I walk away and I live my own life. And say, "This God thing didn't work out for me." It's because God says, "It's not by your might nor by your strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's by that inner working of God in your heart, taking that stony heart and putting a living heart inside you filling you with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what really goes into building a temple? Because Zerubbabel might have some points here. He may need a little strength, a little might. Well, let me read you some facts concerning this temple. You see, this temple, each stone weighed about 10 tons. That's massive. And these stones were so finely cut and they laid so flat on each other that they didn't even need to use mortar to stack them together or to hold them together because they were cut so in such a real precise way. Well, 10 tons is about the weight of a semi-truck. Could you imagine God saying, go build me a temple and use cement blocks that weigh about as much as a semi-truck? And God, you're saying that I don't need might and power? That's absurd. Would you say that's absurd? Is that ridiculous? That seems impossible. I agree. Listen to this. He says, some of the largest stones to this temple were actually 46 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet. And they weigh about 415 tons. That's about 42 semi-trucks. The weight of it. And God says, hey, Zerubbabel, get your eyes off of what you think you're capable of doing because you're in the lineage of Jesus, or because you have the prestige of being in the family of David. Because it says it's not by might or by power, but only by Jesus Christ, only by my Spirit that you're able to do these things. But I think Zerubbabel had a pretty strong case here. I'm going to need some of my own strength. I'm going to need to be equipped. But in reality, when we begin to think that we can do it on our own strength, we're fighting against ourselves. We're just like the disease lupus, to where we think what is healthy for us, we begin to attack ourselves. We begin to destroy ourselves because we think we can do things in our own abilities. But really, we need an outside source. We need Jesus Christ in our life. You guys, there's a last story. We're going to take about 2 minutes. I'm going to talk to you about this. It's a guy by the name of Gideon, and it's in Judges chapter 7. Let me just tell you the story really quick. Gideon was going up against some men, and they were called Midianites. They were Midianites. And they had 30,000 some men to go up against these people. And that was really small numbers compared to how many numbers the Midianites had. And God says, whoa, that's just way too many people. Gideon, you need to cut it down because what I want to do is I want to get all the glory for what happens in your life. So he says, okay, if there's any men here that are afraid, that are fearful, go home. Go home and hang out with your wives and your kids. You can't handle it. So 22,000 men go home. So they're down to a little over 10,000. So there's a couple thousand there. And God says, it's too much. It's too many. Yeah, sure, you're facing an army of a few hundred thousand people, but it's too much. I want to get all the glory. I want my strength to prevail, not your strength. I don't want you to say, look what I have done to live this life and to do these things. And he says, okay, this is the deal. I want you to get all the men, get them down by the water, okay? And if there's a group of men that get down the water and they lap the water up like dogs, they're so thirsty, they're doing one of those jobs, okay? And then see who the ones that actually they're civilized. They take the water and they cup it in their hands and they bring it to their mouth. He goes like this. He goes, the ones that just got down and shoved their face in the water and started lapping it up, those, get them out of here. I don't want any of those guys. 10,000 booted out. So what's Gideon dealing with? 300 people. So God says, hey, now we're in a position to where you guys have no strength. You have no ability. There's no way you can win against these people. But now I will receive all the glory. Guess what happens? Do you think Gideon and his army won? Gideon and the 300, do you think they won? Read the story in Judges and let me know next week. They won. It would be a lame story if they didn't win. But they totally won. But it says, you know what? God received the glory. And so, guys, what's going to happen is next week, I kind of want to lay the foundation that God is in complete authority in our lives, and that God says, you aren't capable to live this life. And I want you to know that God is able and capable, and he wants to be your strength. He wants to be your enabling. I read something. Someone gave me something in my, yeah, here it is. Nikki found this, and it says it was in her couch or something like that. Was it? Where was it?
Couch,
yes. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the key. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not us. It's as Christ lives through us and in us. And guys, next week, we're going to talk about this and how it relates to us in our relationships. Because would you say that we fail quite often in our relationships? We screw up. We stab each other in the back. So we're going to talk about what God has to say about relationships in light of it's him working in us and changing our hearts, not us doing it. So guys, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have the leaders spread out around the room, okay? And this is what I want for the last 10 minutes of service. We're going to get into small groups and we're going to pray, okay? And I have a couple things that I want you to pray about. So right now, guys, the leaders spread out. And you know, a couple of you, get with a group, okay? Girls with some girls, guys with the guys. We got Josh, we got Ben over here.